Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. We are located just north of 51st Street on Lynn Lane in Broken Arrow. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Okay, what's today? January 6th. You know what day this is on the calendar? Did I hear Epiphany? Yeah, this is Epiphany, 12th day of Christmas. And this is the day where we celebrate the fact that there were wise men who came from the east, followed a star. Okay, get that idea of light, shine, you know, in 2001-9. And they came to Jesus and brought their gifts to him. Epiphany. It's kind of a strange word. It's just kind of taken directly out of Greek, but it means a shining forth, a revealing, a disclosure of something. And it is celebrated, but you know that millions of Christians celebrate this day as Christmas rather than the 25th of December. And the reason they do this is that these wise men were the first Gentiles to come and to see Jesus and to worship him. And so, really, for us today is a very special kind of a Christmas. I don't think I have Jewish blood in my background. At least I'm not sure. I haven't done the DNA. But if I don't have any, I'm certainly glad that God revealed himself to the non-Jews as well as to the Jews. Today is also the first Sunday in the brand new year, and we're starting that theme for the year about shine in 2001-9. And we're going to be doing that throughout the year. And do you know what's going to happen by the end of the year? Something's going to happen. We are going to shine. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to end the message today with a Bible verse that explains how that happens, because this is a process that God is very, very passionate about. Okay, let's think about light. First point is this. Is that light is essential to life. Light is not only something that's pretty nice, it isn't just something that's quite good, but it is absolutely essential. Now, without light, there would be no photosynthesis. Without photosynthesis, there would be no green plants. And without those plants, there would be no food for the animals, and a lot of our food would be gone. Fact is, all of our food would be gone. Now, there are some plants that can operate without direct light, but indirectly, they are dependent upon light as well, and that is the funguses, okay, or the fungi. And mushrooms, like one mushroom said to the other mushroom, hey, let's go out and have a good time. We are both fun guys. Aha, okay. I should have given you an alert beforehand that there was going to be something amusing, but I'll give you another alert as we go along. Okay, so light is sourced by the sun. All of the light that we have is sourced by the sun. Whether it's in a battery that you put in a flashlight, ultimately that power was sourced in the sun, which is a form of energy. Now, you think about energy and matter and physics. There are probably only two people that really understand all of that. One is Einstein. The other is one of my grandsons who's got that all figured out, and he's just 11. Okay. But it's electromagnetic radiation. Electromagnetic radiation. Well, this is more than science that we're talking about. We're really talking about human life. And all of this has to do with who we are, where we came from, what we're here for, and what our destiny ultimately is. What is our purpose in here? It's all intertwined with God's creating of light and creating of this universe. Now, light does not have any mass to it, and which is kind of an intuitive thing. You kind of figure that out. You know, no mass there. I put my hand over the light. But I ran across an amusing anecdote. Okay, that's an alert. There's something amusing that's going to be coming up, and I will expect to laugh. That there were these two guys who were carpenters. They didn't laugh at this one last night. Okay, but you're better. Okay. There, the two carpenters who had been working in this house, and when they were done with the day's work and it's getting dark out, they leave the house, and as they've gone, by the way, the one was pretty smart and the other was probably not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. And the first guy would tease the other guy a lot, you know, give him a really, really hard time. And so he took his flashlight and he shined it up to the second floor and he said, "Hey, I left my hammer up there. Would you climb up that light beam and get it for me?" And he says, "Hey, how dumb do you think I am?" And so the first guy said, "Hey, I'm sorry." And he says, "Well, I know you only too well," says the dimmer one. I'd get halfway up that beam and then you'd turn the flashlight off. Oh, yay. Thank you. Thank you. Now, speaking of lack of light, you all remember the ice storm of 2007? That was really something. And for at least a week, we didn't have any electricity. And we didn't have the $1,000, $2,000 to buy a generator. Besides that, if we had and used the credit card, they'd have been out anyway. And so we said, "Hey, we were raised in Minnesota. Yeah, we're tough. We can handle the cold." But after about 2 days of that, of darkness and cold, we said, "Okay, we got to get out of here," and went to visit our daughter and grandkids down in Texas, where they had light and it was warm. Now, my wife, Connie, grew up even farther north than I did, and the REA, the Rural Electrification Administration, hadn't quite got the light poles out that far. And so she grew up in a house until age 9 that didn't have any electricity in it. And when finally electricity came and you just go to the wall and you flick a switch, wow, that was like magic. It was like a miracle happening. You know, it's amazing how much different light makes. Her grades went up suddenly. Okay. Now, if you're going to do a history of light, you have to start here. You have to start on that page 1 where we were. Genesis 1, verse 3 just says it all. "And God said, let there be light." And what happened? Yeah, there was light. That's amazing. You know, just the word of God made it all happen. And so now creation was off and running. And creation, by the way, is an activity that only God can do. By definition, only God can do it. Now, people might say, "Wow, you are so creative, but you don't do like God did." There were no pre-existing materials. God called them just simply by the authority of his speaking into nothing, and out came something. I can't do that. You can't do that. Nobody can do that. And all those pagan religions, they never had an answer for where did all that stuff come from. Oh, their gods and their goddesses, you know, kind of tinkered around with it and did this and that with it and made a lot of mistakes, and eventually human beings kind of came on the scene. But God created. He made something out of nothing. You know, people ask, "Well, where did all that come from?" And God said, and there was, and God saw that it was good. Well, remember when we did the walk through the Old Testament, and we did these hand signs with that? Okay, we started out with creation, and that was back in September. Okay, we make a round ball like that, you know, like the globe. Say, creation. And then the second word was fall. That's the rebellion as the Bible story moves on. And then the next story after Cain and Abel is a flood. So we're going to be, from time to time, using those hand signs as well. And in the year 2019, Pastor Dreyer and I we're intending to go through the entire Bible all along the theme of light. Because so much of what God has revealed in the Bible and so much of what he has done, it revolves around that whole idea of light. Let there be light. Why? So that we might shine in 2019 and thereafter. So people turned away from the light into the darkness. But we're going to show the account of God interacting with his universe. In the beginning of the Bible, we have an account of creation. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. actually given us in two different forms. The first is the telescopic, looking at that globe from a distance. And then the second one in chapter 2, starting at verse 4, shows like the microscopic. God, very much with hands on, lifting up the piece of mud to his mouth and blowing in the breath of life. It's a very, very exciting story. And when we can kind of catch the flow of God at work in this world, we will have discovered a reality that a lot of people just have no inkling about. So this formation of our universe and of our world is not some kind of a random happening, but from the beginning of light, energy, and matter, it is all God's work, called into being by his speaking, just simply by his word, according to his plan. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 11:3 up on the screen. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. You see, that's the source, the word of God. And of course, Jesus is the word. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That's creating everything out of nothing. And there it is. Now, we might be able to win all the arguments and have all the facts, all the information, so that when you get into an argument with someone about a materialistic source of the universe and evolution and everything just kind of by chance coming into being, and you standing firm on creation, you could miss the whole point. You know what? You could win the argument and miss the point. So what's the point? Okay, this is the next major division of this message this morning, and that is you are a creation of God. Emphasis on you. You, I, we are creations of God. So what? Okay, how does that have to do with light? Did you know that God made light for you? God knew when he said, let there be light, that he was going to make eyes and put them in your head. Okay, he was going to do that for you. He would give you eyes to see because this universe that he was going to create would be so incredible. It would have such natural beauty in it. And then everything, and then he made light so you could see it, gave you eyes so that you could see it. And everything that exists on this planet could be then a habitation for human life. The intricacies of everything that he made is so that this would be a place where you could live. And before it all started, he had you specifically in mind because you are a creation of God. A beauty for you to see, ecology, so that everything would work together, that there would be a kind of an interlocking web of life and reality, and that we could be participants in that, that we would have food and everything would work together very well. And if you follow the sequence through the Bible, starting in Genesis 1 and 2, you just can't miss it. He had us in mind all along. Well, the light, the sun, the moon, the stars, the laws of gravity, thermodynamics, etc., a place for us to live and to flourish, a beautiful place. And then you were personally created by God. You were intended by God. You were designed by God. That makes you absolutely special. You know, people make a deal about craft beer. What does that mean? I guess maybe somewhere along the line, someone's hand touched something. I don't know what it's supposed to be, but people make a big deal about it. But how about the fact that you are crafted? You are unique. You are one of a kind. And before you existed, God knew a lot about you because he had designed the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, the color of your skin, your ethnicity, your intelligence, your talents, your place in the world. He knew where you would be born. He knew what kind of opportunities you would be facing, and he gave you incredible opportunity. He's got a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. So it's not just a bunch of random happenings that and we're just sort of the victims of whatever. But no one of us then is expendable. And not only that, but God cherishes each one of us. You know, probably you have times, I guess most people do, where you kind of feel crummy. You know, what am I doing here? What's my life? I don't feel very valuable, worthwhile. Creation says, opposite. You matter. And God created you with a very high purpose. And the purpose ultimately was to have fellowship with you, to have a relationship, to have intimacy with you. And intimacy with God is actually an available state or condition for every single one of us. And that actually is it is important because it is essential to knowing who we are. We got to know. When we know who we are, we can go on with life. Well, I was kind of curious. I Googled it just this last week. I wanted to get lists of names of people who were like celebrities, actors, writers, intellectuals, athletes, etc. The whole, you know, all the important people. How many of them really didn't know who they were and ended up taking their lives? You see, the burden of that ignorance, of not knowing who they are, it was intolerable, and they finally took their own lives. Well, next week's message, which will be given by Pastor Dreyer, because he's an expert on this, it's going to be so dynamic, you will not want to miss it, because nobody knows sin like he does. Okay, it's about the fall. Okay, part two, about the fall. You're going to tell us what went wrong and how it is that we all, to some extent, experience some brokenness in our lives. And we're going to call it by its name. You know what the name is. Just three letters in that word. It's called sin. So we got to go to the third major point today. And that is, you're more than a creation. You are in Christ. What a new creation. Isn't that incredible? A new creation. You know, the old one kind of fell apart. So God said, I'm going to have to make a new creation. We're going to start a brand new humanity. We were born part of the old, and now, born again, we become part of the new humanity. See, God didn't leave us on a junk pile of broken pieces. He didn't leave us in the dark to stumble around and then see if you can find your way out of this one, huh? He didn't want us to be distant from our Creator. Well, 2 Peter. Okay, let's put this up. Chapter 2, it says that he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is a call. This is an invitation. Hey, come out of the dark. Come on into the light. And he made it possible. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17, which tells us what we are. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is that person? Yeah, we already talked about that. A new creation, and that means that the old has passed away and the new has come. And not only that, but it just keeps on coming. And that's a part of the beauty and the excitement and the adventure of the Christian life. It just keeps on coming. Aren't you excited about that? An amen out there? Okay, thank you. All right, now what does that mean? What does that mean? Put this into practice. That means you're going to get a fresh start every day. Yeah. How would you like life where you get a brand new, fresh start every day? The mistakes of the past, the burdens of the past, do not have to be part of your today. They are offloaded by the Christian and placed at the cross, and there they were already paid for, so you dare not take it back because they belong to Jesus. He paid for your sins. He gets to keep them, so don't take them back. You get it? Okay? Now, you get that fresh start. There's a thing that happens. You know, we say that Jesus is the light of the world, and there's another passage that says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He flashes that light into the dark corners of our soul. He reveals something. Oh, yeah, I've got some problems. I got some sin. My hiding places, but you know what? I tend to want to deny it or maybe justify it. Hey, if you had the same problems that I have, if everybody was down on you like they are on me, if you didn't have any money like I don't have, you would have done the same thing. Come on. And who do you think you are? And we justify ourselves. Don't judge me. Well, God can. And he finds those places, and he finds our alienation, and he finds our loneliness, and he finds our confusion. And what happens? The prophet Malachi said that the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. So now there's a process. There's a process of that revealing. And It can be a little bit uncomfortable at times. If you're in a deep sleep and you're unaware and someone suddenly turns on the light, you're startled and you're really pretty upset. You're kind of angry because you didn't want that light. Your eyes are not accustomed to it. And so it is with sin when God shines the light. So the first thing is to recognize by means of the law of God that we have sin, we have failure, we have darkness. And the truth shines to reveal that to us. But when we recognize, we need to, the next R is respond as we realize it, acknowledge and confess. You know, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Or this is what the psalmist said. It's in Psalm 32. I said the psalmist, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now, what happens? He goes on to say, that was such a relief to me. And when I accept the gift of God's forgiveness, and by the way, the emphasis is on gift because it is entirely the work of Jesus. 100% Jesus, 0% me. And you know what? How would you like your life to be free of the drag of guilt and sin? Now, that's to be the normal everyday experience of the Christian, not something, you know, once in a while if I get this great spiritual ecstasy, but it's an everyday thing that is meant for every one of us. Now, what he does is he takes those broken pieces and he begins that new work of the new creation to make something beautiful of my life so that we get to a third R, which is to recreate. That's, again, God's work in my life. Makes me a new creation, and he's got a pattern for that. So you get this jigsaw puzzle, 1,000 pieces. In my family, we would do one every Christmas time, set up a card table, 1,000 pieces out there. But you'd have to look at the top of the box. There was a picture that had the image of what it was to look like when it was put together. Did you know that God is putting you together? Yeah, as you cooperate, it works a whole lot better. He's recreating. He has a pattern, and what's on the front of that puzzle box? It's Jesus. That's what God wants us to look like so that we can shine in 2019. You get the idea? You see what we're going to be talking about in this new year and what's going to be happening by the end of the year? We are going to be shining. We're going to be a light out there, set on a hill, a light for other people. Okay, so we've got this recreating. Now, we often think about what we want God to do for us. You know, in 2019, I'd like God to make me more intelligent, more handsome, more wealthy, more healthy, you know, all this kind of stuff. Oh, man, that's what I'd like if I could, you know, I want you to do that for me. But God is even more interested in doing something in me. Build character. Yeah. A change of attitude. You see, God doesn't want to send us out the door and say, okay, you're just the same as you were before. If that's what we expect and if that's what we want, hey, you can have that. You can get that. But what he wants is for us to become more prayerful, more devoted to the Word of God, more in service and love to each other, more trust, more dependable as a servant for the church so that we can shine in 2019. Okay, finally, question, how will you shine? How will you shine? Now, we're going to look at the word shine, S-H-I-N-E. We're going to look at it vertically, and we're going to have a little acrostic with that. And if you like it, you can make up some new ones and send them to me or Pastor Dreyer, and you might find them showing up in a sermon sometime. So you got to be here every time because, you know, something you've come up with, you know, you're gonna see it. All right, S is serve. This is the great commandment. And Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Now, that means you got to get outside of yourself so that you love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. So, serving. Next one, the H stands for help. Help. Now, isn't that same as serve? No, the point of emphasis here is that in our life, we have the choice to be a help or a hindrance, to be a producer or a consumer of the ministry of the church. We can be we can be making deposits or making withdrawals. We can be part of a problem or part of a solution. See the choice. You're going to be a helper or the helpee. Next is I, which is innovate. Innovate. Be open to change. Be the change that you want to see in your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your church. Be the change that you want to see. There are churches that resist change. They die pretty quickly. There are churches that grudgingly accept change. They live just a little bit longer than the others. There are churches that embrace change. Oh, they continue on for a period of time, you know, and then finally they go into decline and they're gone. But there are churches that lead the charge. They are agents of change because, you see, God does not change, but people change a lot, and we have to be ready to meet the needs. You know, what we're aiming at is always a moving target out there. Just when you think you got the millennials figured out, and boy, we just have a ministry to the millennials and say, oh, that's so millennial. You know, we're in a new time now. And then, so we got to be ready to reach out in our time. Innovate. N stands for never, never grow weary in well-doing. Even when it gets tough, you don't curse the darkness. You just simply shine the light, no matter how deep the darkness, no matter how big the challenge, no matter how difficult it is. Your light makes the difference. You are the light that begins to bring joy, and it brings light to other people. You are a light on display. Don't let your lens be all cloudy and dirty, but let your light shine and poke holes in the darkness. Worship the Lord always, even when it isn't convenient. Let it be the organizing center of your life. Now, we're going to get to the last one, and that is educate. Yeah, we're just about done. We're going to move on to the next thing pretty soon. Okay, educate so you can radiate. Who's the first person that needs to be educated? Yeah, look in the mirror. Okay. We need to be, okay? How are you going to get educated? How are you going to get that truth and that light into your life? You got to be like a solar panel, which is always facing the light, preferably one that moves and faces the light. Where is the light? You're going to find the light here. You're going to find the light at the Lord's table. You're going to find the light because it's going to shine in special ways out of other people towards you as well. So we need to educate. Be like the sunflower that moves with the sun, absorbing that light so that we can shine. Hey, you know what, Chuck? I know a good way to do that. You have a good way to do that?
Cross-training.
Hey, I'm glad you mentioned that. All right. So, time to sign up for that, isn't it? Okay, so let's get on so you can get out there and sign up. This is kind of to conclude, by the way, in Psalm 34, it says that those who look to him are radiant. So that's why you educate. You look to him. And now, 2 Corinthians 3:18. You got to get this one. And we all, with unveiled faces, as opposed to when Moses put that veil over his face, you know, because he had the glory of God all over him, when we behold the glory of God, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from God who is the Spirit. Okay, the more you look at him, the more you shine, the more you glow in his glory, and that's what we're intended to be, and that's what we're going to be as we give our attention to the Word, as we become a tightly focused group, as we train ourselves for ministry, for discipleship, as we gain more and more the vision of what God has called us in existence to do and to be. Look out, world, because the light's going to shine. Well, by the way, again, if you have any ideas of S-H-I-N-E, you know, send them on. It might show up sometime. Well, he wraps himself in light, doesn't he? Yeah, and darkness tries to hide, but trembles at his voice as we look And as we face that light, wow, a beautiful thing happens. Let's pray. Lord, lead us into light. Lead us by your light. Lord, help us to shine your light. May we increasingly become the people that you want us to be. And I pray this in your precious name. Amen.